Hey, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's message. My name's Aaron, and I'm on the staff team here at Eastlake. Everything we do around here depends on the generous donations of our local and online community, people just like you, who tune into these messages and see great benefit from living that idea that life is a gift and love is the point. So if you love what Eastlake is up to, we'd encourage you to contribute by going to eastlakecc.com. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
Today, Ryan is going to be kicking off the series. You might not recognize him. I think someone told me, that's the suit Ryan wore at my wedding. And I'm like, that's the suit he wore at my wedding because it's the only suit that he has.
All right, all right.
All right, so welcome, Ryan. Let's go.
Thank you. Well, happy anniversary, Eastlake. Yeah. It's nice to see you. If you're just joining us, well, first of all, I should mention that this is not a new Apple device. I did break my finger, so if you're wondering, ooh, what a new wearable. No, broke my finger. We made a formal statement of full inclusion 3 years ago. Actually, it would have been technically Wednesday, I think. It was on January 25th, 2015, for full and active inclusion of the LGBTQ+ community. And we're so proud of that move and so enriched and changed, transformed by that. And so today we're celebrating that. And I like celebrations. I'm not actually a big Hallmark holiday kind of person, but I love the idea that you mark moments. It's an important part. Human beings are symbolic creatures. Even the language I'm using right now is symbolic language. We interpret everything in life symbolically. We tell stories. We find our place in the world through a narrative that we are either inherit or that we deconstruct and then rebuild and find our way. I love Volkswagen buses, many of you know that, and I recently got a text from a family that I sold a bus to. Wonderful family, difficult story, but they lost their eldest son to an overdose. His name was Ryan. We ended up connecting in just a miraculous way, but they flew up and bought a bus from me and then drove it home with their younger son. And it was just a way to mark, to celebrate, to grieve, and to remember. And they sent me a text this week of this way of commemoration of a tattoo of the, pretty cool way to remember. But I think that's, again, it's just indicative of the way that we inhabit the world as human beings. We mark things, moments, anniversaries, you know, hopefully. don't forget, guys. We need to do these kinds of things. And so today we're going to do that. And I know I should also mention this beard is a way of marking something for me. Some of you are wondering. In fact, some of you have family, you know, perhaps in the South, who have been telling you shouldn't be going to this not real church, which it's true, it's not a real church. But they're, you know, because that the guy's a heretic. And I'm only giving them more fuel, right? Am I right? I mean, look at the guy. He looks like Charles Manson now. And so, I mean, I know that's difficult, but this is actually a monument to my friend Jonah, many of you know, who has always had a long beard, and he got cancer as soon as I got cleared last year. So I told him I'm not going to cut my hair or my beard until he's cancer-free. And so, anyway, that's why I look like a cross between Jim Carrey and Alan Watts these days. So there you go. Wherever that's leading, there you have it. Thoreau has this great line that I love, and he says, "How many a man has dated a new era of his life by reading a book?" In 2009, we were a 4-year-old church, and we had grown incredibly rapidly. I think at 2009, we were somewhere between 3,000 and 3,500 people a weekend, outgrowing our space. But I finally had time to think, because I had been running this like really thin staff, trying to run this massive church. And by the time I actually had a staff to run the church, I could be like, okay, what do I want to say? Before that, all my mentors had just been sending me all their sermons, and I'm like, great, I don't have time to write them, you know, I'll tell my own stories, you just give me your sermons. And so by 2009, it was like, finally I could take a breath and think, okay, what do I think? And so I did what I had already done before, but never in a short period of time. I'd done it in Bible college as well, but I decided I'm gonna read the Bible all the way through, cover to cover, as quick as I can, you know, not speed reading, but let's really get the whole thing at once. So 2009, I did that, started at the beginning. I actually finished in like 4 months. And at the end of it, I remember closing the book and realizing, and it had been percolating the whole time. I was like, oh no. it doesn't say what I was always told it said. And I had way more questions than I had ever had. And so my immediate reaction was, it's my problem. I missed something along the way. So I said, I'm gonna do it again. So I did it again in 2009. And I was even more disturbed and realized, oh, this is gonna be a problem for people. And so really what happened very privately for a while is I went on an existential descent to hell and was like, what am I gonna do with this? How does this reframe my worldview? I've mentioned before, when you lose your worldview, you lose your identity. They are one and the same. They are tied. And so everything started to unravel. And thankfully, a good mentor of mine said, you need to take long walks every day. I was like, that's the worst idea I can imagine. But I did it anyway because I respected him, and it has since become a really important part of my life. But I still do it, and even this Friday, I walk by this tree. I walk the Burke-Gilman Trail almost every day for quite a while, many miles. This tree is an important part of my walk. And I remember in 2009 and 10 and every year after, I often stop at this tree, and I remember in 2009, don't make fun of me, but I did talk to the tree. I didn't know who was safe. So the tree was like, you're good. You don't go to Eastlake, do you? Okay, good. I was like, I don't know what's happening to me. And I'm scared. And over the next few years, as you know, things started to spin for me, and especially in 2014 and 13, when I really started to say some of my truth, I just remember thinking, like, I would just often talk to my counselor by the river and say, like, you know, the idea that the Bible was clear had evaporated for me, and I didn't know what to do. And that tree has seen me through so many seasons of my life. I've watched that tree go through so many seasons, and it has observed me going through many seasons. And today I want to take you through some of those seasons. One of the ways I want to do that, we got the management team together, and we said, let's just sit down and talk about the journey toward inclusion. And there might be some cool clips I could play during my message this weekend. Well, it ended up being so just raw and awesome that I was like, let's play that. And I want you to think about this as like, when I would go to Thanksgiving, I'd love it when my grandpa would get everybody together around the fire and we would hear stories of my family. And I would get to know who we are. What were the moments, the thoughts, the crises, the things that shaped who the we that our family was? How did it make us who we are? And in many ways, you know, not every sermon has to be a teaching sermon, although I'm sure you'll walk away with something today. But I want you to know a bit of your story as a part of this community. And so you're going to hear from the management team in the next few minutes. And I think it's going to be kind of a little fun little thing. So I'm welcoming you to the anniversary dinner table. And I want to say to you, happy anniversary, Eastlake. I love you. That's a little windy in here, isn't it? So watch this, and then I have some thoughts at the end.
I think the question that's hard to figure out is, where do you start the story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do you begin? Because inclusion doesn't start for us January 2015. Like, it's precipitated by moments, trips, in relationships.
I found this earlier today. I found some notes from an old staff meeting from December of 2011. And the title of the note is Gay Conversation. That's just what it was. About the GLBT community, according to my notes. And at the very end, I wrote down, Eastlake doesn't take a stance against an entire group of people. That was December of 2011.
Sheesh, what took us so long?
Right?
That was kind of during our Don't Ask, Don't Tell era, I think, where we were not ever blatantly against anybody in the LGBT community, but we weren't affirming either.
Yeah.
But the instruction we were getting internally as a staff was, hey, just as a heads up, you better not be against the gay community because there's some nuance to this conversation. So that was in the water, at least.
Yeah.
Corporately, just towing the party line.
But we were, I think the reason why that is significant to me, at least, is as an organization in 2011, we weren't proud of our position.
Right.
So we had the position that you couldn't lead a group, but it was, let's not talk about it. Let's just pretend that this isn't a problem.
Yeah.
And it took a while for it to birth into confidence that we could say where we're actually at with it. But
yep.
I feel like we were meeting about it for a long time in staff meetings, but it didn't really like ring true to me until we went to Colorado and we went to Highlands Church. And it's an inclusive church in Colorado, in Denver. And I I had never seen an inclusive church before. I thought we were as close as we could get to an inclusive church, even though we weren't at all. But man, that was like where it turned for me.
There was a moment when we were at that church, when they were doing the like open communion like we do. I don't think any of us got up at first. And they were playing, it was like happy music. I remember getting emotional and looked down at the aisle and like everyone was crying, all of us.
The whole experience, when you brought up how you never went to an inclusive church before, it's embarrassing to say that, I hadn't either. That's the first message I'd ever heard from somebody who wasn't straight. Her story that was a really important reason why the whole day was emotional and meaningful. She told how she was visiting another church. They had their
It was a memorial.
Oh, that's like what it was.
Yeah, she was at a memorial, and they had communion at the memorial, and she wasn't allowed to receive communion. And her friend gave her a Jolly Rancher and said, "This is the body broken for you. This is the blood." It was like this moment of her friend affirming her as a human and fully able to participate. And I think that was the, I mean, I was open to this whole conversation by way of being on staff, but that was such an emotional, like it draws empathy out of you. You don't realize how your perspective is dehumanizing to another until it's illustrated in such a meaningful way. To imagine somebody having to receive communion by way of Jolly Rancher because of your policy. How embarrassing, how backward is this? That was hard and really good for me to experience, I think.
I think with a lot of things you don't realize, like you don't realize necessarily that something's missing until you see it somewhere else.
Right.
And I think maybe that's what happened to us. Like Lenny said, I think we thought we were really like progressive and taking all these steps forward, and then you're just confronted with like, you're missing
your own
a whole
reality.
Yeah.
You're just missing it.
Yeah.
I think we confused, or we equated inclusivity with affirmation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We thought, oh, we're just as progressive as you can be because we include people.
Come as you are.
Yeah, because you're allowed here in our presence somehow. That's as far as you can go. And what we saw that day was affirmation. People were being affirmed who they were as they were, and we had never been in place of that kind of grace.
Yep.
And
well, partially because we had always been affirmed for who we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we didn't know what it
fancy
was
that.
Like to be there.
You're just total blind spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also being in that community reminded us that there was an element to our community that was missing. We weren't receiving all the gifts that people in the LGBT community can bring, right?
Totally.
Their perspective, their view on God, faith, spirituality was a missing element in our community because we weren't platforming anybody who thought differently.
Yeah.
And then we showed up at the airport, had dinner together, and just wept through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
All of us took turns just weeping.
And then I think we did, I have a picture of like, we did communion with French fries, I think. And I think I had a glass of wine, and so we were doing communion at the airport.
In the back, the very
bawling,
back.
Bawling, and this poor waitress kept coming back to our table.
I know, that poor waitress.
She would walk up at the beginning of everyone's speech. Like, everyone had a different speech, and she'd walk up right then. So I just want to, and she'd be like, okay, I'll come back.
That was a turning point for sure.
Yeah, it would be hard to find a more significant moment that year than what was probably March of 14. Yep. Going to that church, and then we started using their ethos.
Mm-hmm.
We all can receive here.
Gay or straight here, there's no hate here. Woman or man here.
And then people started smelling, what do you mean there's no hate here? Which is such a funny thing to ask, but I do remember people saying that.
Yeah,
what exactly do you mean there's no hate here? And so we're getting together as a management team like, okay, I think it's time next year. We need to make a statement, you know, and when are we going to do this? We start planning this like really fun series.
Yeah, we had a retreat. We're going to slow drip it in.
Yeah.
Speak on love.
That was your original plan.
We're going to slow drip it in. We're going to let you just like go on some rants, but we're not going to like promote it. We're not going to have a big title.
We don't need to drop a bomb.
Let's drip it in the water. All of 15.
Yeah.
Nice and slow.
Yeah. That's not how it went.
Well, no. A couple things happened. No,
Christina
was huge. Christina coming out to George and to
George
you.
First, and then to me.
Uh huh.
The only person not here who was on the management team at that time was George McHale, our friend who now works at Riverside Church in New York City, and was a huge part of this whole process, yeah, and we love him dearly. But
for sure.
Christina, who was leading music
at Seattle campus.
At the Seattle campus.
Yeah.
She started dating our friend Ayla, who we love, who you see all the time, watches your babies.
I love her more than anyone. She takes care of my kids.
Your nanny.
I remember when Christina told me, I didn't even know how to react. I sat there, I didn't know what to say because I had never walked this road before. And so, I mean, Christina and Ayla taught us so much about how to move forward. And I mean, lucky us that they were around to be able to hold our hands and walk us through.
That was fall 2014.
That set up that we should do something.
Yep.
And then
we should tell people that we're not gonna fire her. Because nobody was like, hey, let's fire Christina.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, well, all right, let's just.
That's just what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, because this was the meeting where we were like, we gotta push everything up, and we were doing calendaring for the next year, but we just stopped at April.
Yeah, because it was April. We had an April date when we were like, okay, and then you're gonna say it on this day.
In April.
And then we planned that.
Who knows?
We were like, we don't know if this is gonna work.
Yeah.
I remember I drew the big red and white calendar on the wall.
Yeah, we were gonna do like the whole year, and we were like, okay, we'll just
stop. And we've been week to week ever since in our
So then the article comes out in Time Magazine early when it came out. I was in the airport and I'm like, oh my God, it's out already. And
No.
I can feel my chest like tension just thinking about that week when we found out. Like it's out. Like I had so many conversations after the 25th, right? That I don't even know if I took them right or heard them right. No matter what someone said, it was hard to hear it through the pain you were already going through.
Mm-hmm. All of you had to have those conversations. Yeah. Like everyone was having those conversations, which is why I filmed that video where I look exhausted. It was before that weekend, but I sent a video to the whole staff in that office. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, with the article coming out and getting in circulation, I wanted to be able to help you as you navigate conversations that may arise. First thing I want to say is, as always, don't defend me.
I'm like, hey everybody, just remember, don't defend me, don't be defensive, and just love people. And you know, like, I just knew the tsunami was coming.
It's all that, it's a lead up to it, it's the event that happens, it's the coffees after, and then organizationally, you know, January 14 to 15, 40-something percent drop in giving, and that trend continues. We had to close Monroe down.
Yeah. No, we did it, remember, like a couple weeks after inclusion, we did a video. Ryan did a video, another video where you didn't look too good.
There was a lot of those in that little season.
But it was a video that was like, hey guys, remember how we did announced inclusion a couple weeks back? If you like this, there were some cheers, so some people like this. You should give if you want this to keep going, because we had three buildings at the time, five, six campuses.
Well, and there
staff.
Was a financial,
a lot of liabilities.
One of the girls on our team that did financial stuff was like reporting back of all the emails and phone calls she was getting to cancel people's giving. Like it was just all day long. That's what she was doing.
That was the norm.
Yeah, and to be fair, we know we signed up for this.
Yes.
Like, it's important just because we felt the pain. I think, and I know we agree here, but I just want to say it out loud that like, we were convinced this would close it down.
Yeah.
And I remember,
not all of us. I've been delusionally optimistic this whole time.
That's true. You
positive
have.
Peter.
Well, we still haven't gotten to that moment where you weren't.
I'm not saying I was correct. I'm saying, like, all of my predictions were always delusionally way wrong. Mm-hmm. But the, like, we're definitely going to go bankrupt and die. I've always been like, no.
No, what is Eastlake?
So I've always
us in my living room?
That's true.
Does that mean we can't go over to your house and talk about God?
That is so true.
There is like this, there's this tension though that I want to point out that's like, yeah, we lost a ton of money and a lot of people, but that's, I want to take ownership of that. Like we did change. We knew we needed to be honest and let people know that what we thought was probably a deal breaker for many that we should say out loud and that that would cost us something. That wasn't what was painful, because we knew that would happen. It was the way a lot of those, many of those conversations went that were personal rather than, hey, you guys have changed. I'm not there. I'm going to move on kind of a thing. It was like they were personal attacks about character, you know, those kinds of things is what made it painful.
I'm remembering sort of our little mantra. I don't know if it was you or George or whomever, but it was just like, when we look on the, when we look back on this time and this decision we're making when we're 80, we're going to be glad we did this.
Yeah.
So everything we're going through right now is just like, obviously we signed up for it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're going to be doing something that, you know, we feel is a move in our own integrity and is just going to fill us with joy once we get some separation from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had all said, we're okay losing it. We're okay if it dies. And lots of people left, you know, really nicely, like you said.
Yeah,
there were many people who were very kind and very gracious as they left and thanked me. Thank you for how Eastlake's been helpful on my journey.
Yeah,
totally. Everyone who left thanked Peter.
No. All the conversations I had.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Eastlake podcast. This is Ryan with a quick interruption. We'll jump back into the message in just a second. I'm really excited about this series. We've been preparing this for quite a long time, and what a great opportunity to celebrate all that has gone on in our community since 2015 and the inclusion statement. And so thanks for tuning in. I think this is going to be a really exciting series. A lot of my friends and the contributors who are a part of our community who are speaking during this series, man, I really think you're going to get a lot out of this. So I look forward to you continuing to tune in and follow along with this series. And then once again, another thank you to those of you who make consistent ongoing donations to the ministry here at Eastlake. Everything we do is a direct reflection of your generosity. So thank you so much. Well, let's jump back in with the message.
It feels like so much has happened since then, and also that it was yesterday. But I think trying to figure out, like, what was it that was so hard? What was it that, like, made us feel like it was just a dark time when we did what we thought was right? And I think it was that, like you said, the personal. And at least for me, it was, like, watching you get most of that. Like, I wanted to, I was watching, like, Facebook feeds and comment sections, and I was like, I'm going to get on there and, like,
show them what's what.
Yeah, they don't even know. And it was so frustrating. And
it also, I think, because it was so hard, it elevated other questions. Like, hey, if this religion, Christianity, we used to be a part of the one true religion, remember that? Like January 24th. I was a good Christian. In January 25th, I'm a bad Christian. So now that I've left the one true religion into the new camp, it's interesting the reaction. Like, I'm now the them. For the first time in my life, I was a them. I was always...
You poor, white,
it was
straight
so
male.
Hard. Yeah. No, but for the
first time... No, it's true.
Right, it revealed, like, look what I've been a part of. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me to ask questions. And it's like, who are the other thems that I haven't been aware of this entire time?
Privilege, for sure.
And because of how personal and hurtful the attacks were, I think it only made it the questions or my doubts in that loving religion all the more askable. Because we experienced the pain, and that was like,
and that was for what we thought in our brains.
Yeah,
and totally. You know, to imagine for just to taste what our friends in the LGBT community have been living with their whole lives because of who they were, it was all worth it. And I think once we let go of the need for this thing to make it, you know, because we were working so hard as a management team, keep it alive, keep the staff employed, what do we got to do, you know? But I think finally we had to die to that, like, we may not be able to do it. It might be over. And once we died to that, then we could look, actually open our eyes and go, actually, things are pretty okay.
We should also mention people that were influential along the way. Rob Bell, he'd gone through some... people who didn't approve of his theology.
He's had some.
He's experienced that before.
Yeah.
Rob Bell.
But one of the things that he said that has stuck with me, we recorded that talk. I've watched it numerous times. It's still helpful.
I think you're doing something very, very extraordinary. I don't think you're aware of how important it is. And when you are breaking new ground, it is also terrifying. And innovation is also lonely. And people don't talk about that part. They talk about iPhones and Chipotle. They talk about really cool stuff, but they don't talk about the person who actually had that idea, who experienced extraordinary resistance at the beginning.
One of the things he specifically outlined, he like drew a picture of, here's like a timeline, and here's when you were born, and here's how many years old you are, and here's you, who you are today, and how many meals have you missed, and how many, like he went through all these things to like remind us that we're safe, and like you're at your core, your true self, your soul, you are invincible. And I still remember these words that stuck with me because I think we were in such a fragile state at that spot where we didn't feel invincible. I'll tell you that much.
I actually didn't even understand what he was saying.
I know.
It was like so far ahead of me.
It was so encouraging.
But I did feel the safety.
And then I think we're back at your family's cabin. We're like 2, maybe 3 months post-inclusion. Mm-hmm. And there's just paperwork out that essentially says, you're fucked. It's just a lot of numbers and stuff, but that's the message.
Here's the thing about
math. It's not going well.
Here's the thing about math. Yeah.
You're screwed.
And we're all just silently, like, nobody has anything to say. We have no plans for the next 2 months because we're like, it may not happen. And we're just heartbroken. And my in the silence, my phone rings. And it's Rob. I pick up the phone. I'm like, hey, Rob. And his first sentence is, do you need me to remind you why it's all worth it? And it was like, yes.
Oxygen.
It was like that.
That guy was such an encouragement at that time. But yeah, so that's an important thing. Like people who have been
that
apart.
That was so helpful and encouraging.
Oh, Brian McLaren telling us he had in a rearview mirror. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many.
No, that
big
was before
voices.
Inclusion.
That was way before.
Brian
yeah.
McLaren.
Out of time.
I think he saw us dancing with the topic too much. He's like, you got to put this in your rearview mirror. You got to be honest with people.
Yeah.
Tell people where you're actually at.
What actually happened was people put us in their rearview mirror. But Brian was huge.
Shout out to Rollins too. I mean, he's. Like a
Pete,
lot earlier
oh, Pete
in the process.
Started helping me in 2010 onward. I wouldn't have even been able to think these directions without having a safe person to run things off of back in the early part of my journey.
After inclusion,
Stan.
We did together in this event.
Stan Mitchell.
And having Stan out.
I remember the together
huge.
In this event. At one point, it was just me and Stan, and he had already done his bit up there, and I was like, there's something about you that makes me feel like we're safe. I don't know, because you've done, because you're doing it too, and we're not like, we're not just like by ourselves out here. I mean, it feels like we are. Yeah, just having people telling us like, you're not crazy for wanting to learn, reevaluate, change your mind on something. It's okay.
Yeah, I needed those together in this event. I'm not sure how many people in our community
wanted
still go here that were there. But I know like Stan's message, Anne-Marie Olschlager, the gal that was the doctor.
Anne-Marie.
When she's
oh
like skewing
God.
Data and I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about this.
Like the gender spectrum.
Yes.
Like,
I've been making decisions about humans and I know nothing about anything that has to do with like data. As like as it pertains to humans' makeup and genetic makeup, it's like, I'm so embarrassed. I need to learn more on this, you know?
And that's what's, a lot of this has just been like this waking up to our ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And privilege.
Yeah, and privilege for sure.
Because the ignorance shows privilege, that you don't have to know anything because it's not you.
Yeah. I think it's also important to mention even the staff people who were already here before. Mm-hmm. Like there were people going to bat for the LGBT community on our staff before we were ready. Nate Stone,
Adam Conway,
Jason Lewis, Adam Conway.
Yes. And I thought they were like annoying in staff meeting before, because I'm like, come on guys, like we have a policy that's fine. And so it's funny, again, transcend and be embarrassed. Transcend and be included. I have more transcend, meaning I changed my mind and now I look back and be like, oh God, I can't believe you used to think that. But for sure inclusion brought way more into my life than I thought. I thought it was a move for other people.
Yeah,
like, hey, we're extending an olive branch. when in reality it has transformed everything. It's transformed the way I think. It's opened my mind to, it's revealed privilege. It's been a mirror to so much fear. It's shown me how fearful I was in all arenas of my life. So it revealed so many things in me as an individual. I can't imagine not having done it now.
It forced me to be around and to feel people, to feel them with my heart. I mean, I have so many friends who are in the LGBT community now. I'm just like, oh my God, just like you said, what if I would have never met you? Like, there was a great chance of it.
I had a conversation after inclusion with somebody that I used to work with, who I was super young and super Christian and super like, it's my personality type to like want to have all the answers. And I thought I did when I was like 23. but I had had a friend who, she'd asked me about homosexuality and my views on it. And I told her what my views were on it. And I was so naive, I didn't even realize that she was asking for herself. And I'm so thankful she stayed friends with me. But I was able, after inclusion, we continued to be friends. I don't know, why would you stay friends with someone who would say that to you, that you're not safe? I just don't, anyway. But I was able to tell her like how this journey that we had been on and how it had changed me. And in between that time, she had told me, she had come out to me. And I had already changed a little bit by then anyway, where I was like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm so thankful that I had that relationship still to be able to say to her, like, I'm so sorry that I thought that way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with you. And thank you for being patient with me and still being my friend. I'm thankful to have had opportunities to like say personally to people, like, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me, that mantra that you taught us from the very beginning.
Like, I don't remember getting berated by one single person, do you? Who was like, you took too long. Yeah. Has any one person from the LGBT community done that to you? And by the way, it would be fine if they did.
Warranted, for sure.
Warranted. Not one time. The grace that we've received on this. We just have been grace upon grace upon grace upon grace in this thing. And now we get to live in this crazy reality where we have this amazing church. How the hell are we still alive? I don't get it.
None of us know.
No.
Yeah.
None of us know.
Yeah, I was talking to someone back in Iowa when I went home, and they were just like, ask me about this place, Eastlake. And I was like, dude, it's my favorite place on earth. Like, when I see people, people walk in the doors, and right away, everybody just feels like home, like family, like you can be whoever you are. I love it. And I'm so excited to keep on going with it.
Yeah. Dude, I love that my kids get to grow up in this community.
Yes.
I just get so excited for all of them, Wes, to be able to, I don't know, I'm excited for their worldview and to learn from them when they're older, you know?
I love it too. It's been fun moving locations and feel like this is finally who we are. And I feel that on Sunday. I'm like, yes, this is who I want to be. This is what I want to be a part of. Like, this is what I do know, that like, you're important and you're valuable and, you know, to every person who walks in the door, it's fun again.
Yeah.
It's really
great. A lot of staff said something to that nature. I noticed when I asked people, like, what are the gifts? What do you see? A lot of people mentioned something along the lines of, like, finally my church community and my, you know, whatever, my beliefs are, they match my life. And now we get to live in that anyway. And we don't need to be threatened with hell at all. We want to be good. Because we love people and love works, actually, you know? To work together towards human wholeness for all of us is like, it's virtuous, it's good, it's beautiful. We don't need to be told it in a book or commanded it by a God or threatened if we don't. Yeah. But it can emerge because, like, we're good. We're born good And life can, you know, crap all over you, but if you can find a community that'll wash you off and be like, hey, put you back up on your feet.
Totally.
You know, that's what we do. And, you know, it's funny to call it inclusion or being open and affirming, and then realize that at the end of the day, a big part of what happened was we were able to accept and affirm ourselves. Mm. When you are in a system of judgment and exclusion, you learn somehow that you're innately broken deep down inside, and to make sure you put all the layers up front so that you don't have to face the stuff you reject about yourself.
I mean, when I came on staff, it's silly, embarrassing to say, but it was like a career move, right? I wanted to like join the hip church, and attendance started like really going down right as I got on staff. I still contributed to that.
But, it was your haircut.
But it's like it's
your non-haircut.
Yeah, I know. It was my hair at the time. It's transitioned.
Cut
for
to a picture
me.
Of Peter's hair in the old days. Yes.
Please don't. Thank please, God, no.
Pause for laughter. Yes.
Okay.
I had my hair for like a good like 6 weeks. Let's be honest. I've been on staff for 7 years. Yeah. So okay. Came to East Lake for employment reasons, and it's become just a place that I want to go to, a place I want to attend, a place I want to raise my kids at. For me, at minimum, I'm really thankful that I get to attend to be a part of it, but to think that there's so many people who just benefit from being a part of the structure of a regular gathering, I'm just grateful.
I look forward to seeing what our next big humiliation is.
Yeah. There's going to be one.
It won't be too long.
There's going to be a couple.
Happy anniversary, Peter.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, David.
No, thank you.
Happy anniversary,
happy
y'all.
Anniversary, Tom. Kristen, happy anniversary.
It's crazy to think we're having this conversation.
This will be played at a service we're actually having.
Can you believe we're having this conversation? That's crazy.
I just remembered, we used to sit around in those meetings and we would like console each other, you know, of course, but I remember we used to say like, whenever it finally is over and we're all sitting on the rubble of East Lake and the dust is still kind of settling, I want to be able to look at you guys and be like, did you see that? That was crazy. And then to even be in this moment is crazy. In 2015, the Saturday before that message played at all of our locations, I couldn't get off the floor of my office. I was weeping. I couldn't go home. I was racked with fear and doubt. What, you know, there were enough people telling me I was a tool of the devil to make me think once in a while, maybe I am a tool of the devil. I was in a rough shape. The irony I realized this last week is losing your fear is scary. Because that's what happened to me over the last decade, I guess. I lost my fear. And for some reason, that was a safety thing for me. I didn't realize letting go of that would be so liberating. But I walked by the tree on Friday, my tree, and knowing that this weekend would be a big deal, and I said, "Hey, we're celebrating." Yeah, shut up. I said, "Hey, we're celebrating. It's 3 years." And I can't believe it. I wish I could go tell Ryan he's gonna be okay. I went to some therapy at the end of 2015. I probably don't need to explain why. And one of the things is these visualizations they run you through to go back to, you know, that four-year-old kid who went through whatever it is for you, and to visualize comforting that child. And on Friday, I just had this overwhelming sense. Need. I just closed my eyes and I visualized, and those of you who are in the LGBTQ plus community will get this, probably more than most, but I visualized myself going into that office to that guy on the floor and I gave him a hug and I told him, I said, it gets better. It gets better. See, pain can cloud your vision. Pain and loss and fear can cloud your vision in a lot of ways. Like, literally it can. Like, the tears, like, you know, don't drive, right? It's literal. It clouds your vision. But it also clouds your vision because you can't really see reality. I was convinced the world hated me, which was never true. but you can't see. But there's a third way it clouds your vision, and that is it clouds your vision. Like your ability to imagine infinite possibilities of goodness in your life, pain doesn't let you see that. And if there's one teaching element in this message today, maybe that's it. If you're on the floor of your office in your life right now, weeping in pain, for whatever reason, I just want you to hear that it's clouding your vision. There are infinite possibilities of love and goodness ahead for you. Just not being able to see them doesn't make them unreal. And so I told myself, it gets better. You're really worried about being right. And you're worried that you've got to be a good leader and all these things. And I told them, I said, you know what? It turns out that love and grace and beauty are truth. It's gonna be okay. And it was a healing moment with my tree counselor, and I walked away. I remember over the years I've been yelled at gas stations for some reason randomly, and one of them, when I was a little bit healthier in 2016, somebody yelled at me like, "Are you Ryan Meeks?" And yeah, and Eastlake and whatever, and I could tell this wasn't going to go well. It's like, oh, how much more time do we have here? And he goes, "Eastlake isn't even a church, it's poison. And it won't last." And, thank you for your time. But I remember I got into my car and I was like, he's right. He's right. Eastlake is a poison and it's not a real church. And I'm so proud of that. Eastlake is Roundup for bad ideas. It's Roundup for bad ideas. And I mean that, you know that stuff you can put on your grass that lets the grass thrive but it gets rid of the weeds? This is what we're doing. And you know what? It won't last. Nothing does. Nothing beautiful anyway. It doesn't last. It serves its time. We're not building a monument. We are building a moment in the hearts of people. And we want to help people get liberated from bad ideas that are holding people down. And that is a wonderful opportunity and an incredible gift. We want to poison the bad ideas of fear and shame and guilt that just create victims in need of saving. And we want to free people who can live into their full dignity and personal power so that they can live with deep responsibility and live in the world as a beneficial presence for not just humanity, but for the broader body of life that is a part of this glorious, incredible universe. What a privilege. And there's been a legacy. Like I was thinking about, it's amazing, like the ways we've been able to put something forward. I was walking with a pastor in this area recently and he's like, you know what? Whether people agree or not, you forced this city to have a conversation they didn't want to have. Churches everywhere were freaking out. How do we get the board together to have a meeting? You know, I had elders at other churches calling me going, my cousin or brother's gay, and how do I start to have this conversation at my church? I was like, it won't go well, I'll tell you that. But there are open and affirming churches around here, some that were former campuses of us that are running, and they're different, and that's beautiful, but they're affirming. And there's one in Seattle, and we help churches in California be able to do this. There's a church in Canada that's coming down next month to talk, how do we do this in a way? Because everyone's like, how did you stay alive? We're like, we still don't know if we will be alive for long, but you know, we're around. And this is what's happening. Germany and Switzerland and places all over the place, people who are denominational leaders in other countries consult this ragtag group of misfits on how to do it. You know, they're just hilarious. But it's a gift. It's a part of our legacy. It's a part of the joy of the celebration of this anniversary. As I said in the video, I had the staff, I said, hey, as we're headed towards this, send me your three gifts. What are the three gifts that Inclusion offered you personally? And so everyone sent theirs in, and I was gonna compile them all and send them back to the staff so everyone could read everyone's three gifts. And right before I was about to send it, I was laying in bed, and my wife was in the room getting ready, and I said, hey, babe, let me put yours on here. And she said, okay, sure, I'll type for you. So I said, what are your gifts? And she was quick. I mean, we've been processing this for a while. And she said, first, it was a gateway drug to full inclusion, meaning I was able to actually include myself. That's number one. And then she rattled right again into number two. She's like, number two, inclusion showed me all the ways I was trying to be someone I'm not to appease a group of people who don't care about me anyway. And then I was furiously typing, and she was quiet. I was like, okay, what's the third one? And she's so quiet, and then I heard a sob. And I looked up at her, and I was already crying. Surprise. And I was like, it's people's names, isn't it? And she just starts weeping.
And the answer to number three is Karen. Karen, Bethany, Danny, Marcos, Christina, Ayla, Scott, Steve, Anna, Jenna, Elizabeth, Joey, Jasmine, Bill, Ricky, Matthias, Breeze, Hannah, Ashley, Mandy, Megan, Kari, Jeannie, Rob, Haro, Marcy, Heather, Tony, Becca, Rod, Andrew, Tyler, Stephen, Jason, Brandon, Greg, Sarah, Amanda, Brent, Ryan, Denise, Sammy. So many. That was just off the top of our heads. These are tears of joy, just so you know. I'm super happy. Tears of joy that we know you. We're all, this has been a collective liberation, but to those of you who we have gotten to know and love, you are the greatest gift of all. And so today we renew our vows to you. We see you. We love you. We affirm you. We celebrate you. We're proud of you. And we need you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive communion in a different way today. So what I want everybody to do, the band's going to come up and play one final song. It's called The Beauty of It All, which I love. Christina wrote it, actually. And we're going to do communion differently. So listen, I don't want you to miss this part. Woof. Waterworks. You're going to go and there's elements. The elements are a Jolly Rancher. And I think this is Martinelli's cider, right? Let's just double check. We've got a lot of recovery folks in our midst. We are the recovery church. So there, yes, that does taste like it. It is apple cider, right? Just double checking. Okay. The worst day of my life, you know. Don't drink it and don't take it because we're going to do it together, okay? So normally we do an opportunity for lighting candles and stuff. You can do that this time if you want to sit quietly for a little bit. But at some point during the song, please do get the elements. Even if you've never received communion, relax. It's not religious. This is about humanity. What we're doing is about the deepest reality of being human. And so grab those. I'll lead us in receiving that in just a second. Light a candle if you'd like. And then I think, did I cover everything? We'll do the picture after. Is that everything? Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so you guys go ahead and lead us. Grab your elements, come back to your seat, and then I'll lead us as we wrap up. All right. First thing, as you're able, will you stand with me? And right where you are, if you can, kind of turn to the back because they're going to take a family picture on our anniversary. All right. David's in the back there. Let us know. Smile. Oh, did you get it already? Give us a count, brother. Two, three. Woo! All right now. Turn back. I know it's a little tight. First thing is just a toast. To you, to us, to love, to the future, and to living courageously and without fear. Happy anniversary, Eastlake. And then, I know it's gonna be hard with something in your hand, but open that Jolly Rancher up. You don't have to eat the whole thing. And my wife is like, there's corn syrup in those. Okay, leave it to the nutrition coach to be worried about your health, everyone. So, here's how I wanna do this. Isn't that a beautiful story? In 2015, January 25th, I sent a text to the staff, mostly jokingly, but I was like, all right, I'm on my way to go ruin your church. And I was driving in that morning, and my buddy Jonah texts me this text back, the guy whose beard I said, you made me a promise once always to risk Eastlake for what you thought was right. If you hadn't taken a stand to treat everyone with dignity, that would have ruined my church. We don't need buildings to love people, and you don't need a fancy studio to share what's on your heart. We don't need a church to love and affirm people. Lucky us, we still have one. But the point is not to do it in this building anyway. It's to be people who go out and love and affirm people, and you don't need money, and you don't need religion, and you don't need church services or a book or any threats of eternal damnation to go out and love and affirm people. May we do that. So, as a reminder, true love is always given freely. May you become what you now receive. Let's take it. Your breath is going to be candy fresh. So now we're going to have a little reception. There's cake and all the rest of it. Happy anniversary, Eastlake. I love you. See ya.